In John's Gospel, chapter 20, beginning at verse 19, we read this. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So this gospel, and many other passages, of course, affirm that there is evidence, eyewitness testimony, to the truth of facts about the life, death, and especially resurrection of Jesus. Our faith rests on facts, and most especially on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. As Peter wrote, we did not follow cleverly devised myths in 1 Peter 1:16. John himself was an eyewitness, and he wrote about what he personally saw and experienced. This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things, he wrote, and we know that his testimony is true. John 21:24. As Paul said, if Christ is not raised, then our faith is in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:14. Yes, the resurrection of Jesus is the key. The apostles rested on that fact. Indeed, their entire lives from that moment on changed because of that fact. Their preaching and speaking rested on their certainty that Jesus had risen from the dead on the day of Pentecost and his first public appearance and sermon or speech. Peter said, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs, which God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. But God raised him up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." And in that same public occasion, Peter said, "This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses." When Paul was on the Areopagus in Athens with the philosophers and the smart people, the bright people, and he told them the truth about the true God, the living God, he ended by this statement, "Because he has set a day when he is going to judge the world in righteousness by the man he has appointed. He has provided proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." That's Acts 17:31. So some 15 times in the New Testament, Peter is recorded as affirming the resurrection of Jesus. Paul repeatedly affirmed it. This was what they based their faith on. This is what transformed them. And this is how they presented it, not just to the Jews, but to the pagan world, the Platonists and others who had so much trouble understanding these mysteries. They were bold in proclaiming it. And how can we be sure? Well, of course, we could go through many detailed proofs and refutations of the pretty ridiculous theories about what the world wanted to say happened grave robbers. Jesus didn't really die. But there are certain basic facts, so-called minimal facts, used by scholars like Professor Gary Habermas to affirm the convincing case for the resurrection of Jesus. First of all, Jesus died by crucifixion in Jerusalem. That's well attested, certainly in the Bible and not just in the Bible. Secondly, Jesus was entombed in a new tomb previously unoccupied, and he was not just tossed on the garbage heap like common criminals. Third, on Sunday morning, the tomb was empty. Jesus was not there. No one seriously disputes that there was the empty tomb. There's arguments about why it was empty, but people generally accept that there was an empty tomb where Jesus had been placed. Following that, there were multiple reports of his appearances to the disciples in Scripture. And in one place, Paul says he appeared to as many as 500 people on one occasion, many of whom are still alive. You can check with them if you don't believe me. You can ask them. You can challenge my statements. And certainly, if it was a lie or false, how difficult would it have been to refute it, either by producing the body of Jesus or getting people to say, no, that's not true, who are cited as witnesses. And lastly, the apostles were completely transformed. They're cowering and hiding for fear of their lives, and suddenly they're out in public courageously and repeatedly proclaiming their faith and affirming it on the basis of the resurrection, despite being beaten, stoned, left for dead, and then ultimately all of them martyred and murdered for their faith. Now, people will adhere to something that's false. People will perhaps even die for something that's not true. But will they do that when they know it's false? In other words, if the apostles knew that their faith was a lie, would they actually have been so bold consistently and at such great risk and consequence to themselves? And it's very important because the resurrection of Jesus validated who Jesus was and who Jesus is, as Paul said to the Areopagus bright people. It validates our hope of resurrection and eternal life. It's a unique historical event, reliably proven by evidence and by logic. So, one more eyewitness account from John 20, verses 3 to 8. Peter then came out with the other disciple, John, and they went toward the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. John, of course, a much younger man than Peter. And stooping to look in, he, John, saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying, and the napkin, which had been on his head, Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, this is John, also went in, and he saw and believed. What John saw cemented his faith and confidence in the resurrection of Jesus. So we don't believe in cleverly devised myths. We rely on eyewitness testimony, facts, and the key fact for you and for me is Jesus rose from the dead, and therefore we have hope for our eternal future. May we rest in that. Amen.